Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 2:08 on a sunny but cold Monday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Our friend Chip Scoggins, the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune. Chip will make his regular appearance at 2:35 on the Vikings, a game that was, let's be honest, it was boring. Then it turned into just a bizarre finish and a win for the Vikings. And the Gopher football team, another game canceled with Northwestern and that announcement earlier today. So, Chip, in about 25 minutes or so, a man I've interviewed many, many times over the years, the former mayor of St. Paul and former senator of the state of Minnesota, Norm Coleman, is kind enough to join us. Norm is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Always a pleasure, sir. I always want to talk about your health because you have battled a significant health issue for a long time.
So before you talk about my health, let me just say I haven't spoken to you since the passing of your dad. An extraordinary man, just an extraordinary man. And, of course, I have the pleasure of working on the Wild there, which your dad, by the way, was a little cynical about it. But in the end was there, but just a one-of-a-kind, magnificent human being. I love them, truly. So special. I just wanted to, express my condolences. On my health front, Chad, let me just, I'm going to give you two, I know this, we don't have a lot to talk about, but I'll just tell you, David Ben-Gurion, first prime minister of Israel, once anybody doesn't believe in miracles, is not a realist. I got a diagnosis about 3 months ago, 6 months ago, an image on a scan that didn't look good. A couple months, 3 months later, my next scan, my docs were sure cancer had come back. They literally were saying, go up to the lake and kind of enjoy your life because, to fight this, we can do it, but it's going to be tough and it's going to come back. And they did a biopsy and 4 days later came back and said, it's not cancer. It's not squamous cell cancer. It's a one in a million kind of rare, benign, non-malignant growth. Happened to be right in my chest, right below where the radiation went. Literally, Chad, if I'm getting something that's one in a million, it's not cancer. That's a miracle in life. So bottom line is, wow. they had to operate a 5-hour operation called an ablation. So I still feel like that, Monty Python, Black Knight, they keep cutting out body parts and he keeps saying it's only a flesh wound. I mean, I'm bruised and battered, but it wasn't cancer. And so I'm still in the game and I'm doing well. And I got to tell you, I do believe in miracles.
What was that like, just that stretch of days emotionally, to go from enjoy what you have left of your life to, hey, it's something else that we can treat? I mean, that is just a stunning reversal, considering what's happened.
Listen, obviously, as an insane and to the shattering your core, up and down emotions, both my wife and not to me, obviously my wife, when you hear the news first, and they were sure, we literally were setting up the chemo, we were going to fight, they said, you folks likely you could fight it, and you could fight it, we said we're fighting it, and so we had chemo set up, and then we do radiation, and lo and behold, something else happened, and it's like, wow, but for all you listeners out there, and so many just impacted by cancer, it is, it's always in the back of your mind. It never goes away. You enjoy the victories. You continue to fight on. And in the end, by the way, the hope is that you're going to find something, keep you alive as long as you can be alive, and live your life as I do every day. And I'm working full time. I'm at it all the time. But you know, it's perhaps a little greater sense of finiteness, you know, than yeah. you might otherwise have.
I have someone I'm very close to right now, and she is battling cancer also, and she has received very good news at a point when it looked very sad. So it is so powerful and so harrowing what we still deal with, but it's also remarkable that things can happen, and the advancement in modern medicine is remarkable.
It's funny. I'm on immunotherapy. 3 weeks, I have an infusion. It's by an IV. And I can tell you that literally I started, it was a year ago in June, after I'd had the surgery that took out half my lung. But I was not eligible. That wasn't available for me 6 months before that. Okay, so I literally was able to tap into a treatment, which to this day may be the reason why it hasn't come back. The immunotherapy may be working. You know, the docs didn't think it was for a brief moment, but then they found that it still is. But it literally wasn't available, you know, 3 months before that, before I started. Mm. And so, you know, now they're doing things with gene therapy that, you know, in the end, I think in the next decade, we're going to cure this. I really do. I believe just, you know, we need an Operation Warp Speed on cancer. And by the way, that's something Vice President Biden, President-elect Biden, has spoken about. And I hope that that's one of the things that we focus on. We'll, you know, take care of COVID and then hopefully we'll take care of cancer.
Well, talk about immunotherapy a little bit, because I think a lot of people, sadly, we have hundreds, if not thousands of people listening who have battled cancer or, you know, significantly more who know of people.
Here's the change. Chemotherapy. Okay. You poison the whole body. Okay. It's like, we're going to kill you to save you. But it's a universal thing. Unlike, you know, radiation targets a particular tumor, particular, you know, part of the body. And by the way, that's the gift that keeps giving, because even when you're done with it, you're going to have impacts. Chemo is okay. We think it may be other places we can see. So now we're going to poison the body. And in the end, hopefully we'll kill it. And even that, by the way, is not a long-term proposition. Immunotherapy is that we trigger our own T cells, our own cells that fight bad things. We trigger them to identify. Right now with cancer cells in effect kind of have a shield. They blind the T cells so that they're not impacted. And immunotherapy connects the T cells and get them specifically target these cancer cells. And so that's where we're going. We're using our own body. I mean, really, it's an incredible, you know, concept to use mm-hmm. your own body's immune system. Now, the challenge you have is in some instances, you trigger too much immune system, you start killing good organs. So you run that risk. I mean, there are a lot of risks with immunotherapy. But I can tell you, for me and many, many others, the side effects are minimal, absolutely minimal. For me, it's like going to the suntan booth. They hook me up with an IV. I spend an hour in the doctor's office, and I head out right to the office, head to work. And it's my own T cells within my body that are now targeting these cancer cells and hopefully doing the job. Now, you know, today it may work in about 35 to 40% of the time. I got to believe in a couple of years it will work in 70 or 80% of the time. And yeah. So we're on a different path, a different way to look at it, a different way to do it. And certainly for those of you, your listeners who are going through it, it's a far cry from chemotherapy, where you lose your hair, right, where mm-hmm. you're weak, where you're literally poisoning yourself to kill the beast. They got to come close to killing you to kill it. You know, hopefully you survive it.
Right.
Immunotherapy is a whole new and really almost miraculous process.
Well, that is amazing, and I know many people are getting the chance to experience it. And it's great news that you've had this happen to you. Let's do this. Let's just take a really short pause here so I don't get too far behind with commercials, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a number of political items. Norm Coleman sharing some very personal news about his battle and a scare he had, and just the power of a miracle he believes, and also immunotherapy. On Political Items with Norm when we come back on CCO. Let's jump back in the conversation with the former mayor of St. Paul and former Senator Norm Coleman. You, in our previous conversation, alluded to Joe Biden, and rightfully so, you called him president-elect. There are many Republicans who you know very well, who are senators, who are congressmen, who will not use that term, and it's clear why. They are afraid of the wrath of the president of the United States. He's a man who I'm sure you voted for. You would have preferred if he won. But at what point do fellow Republicans just have to accept the cliche that elections have consequences and that Joe Biden will be the 46th president of the United States?
So elections also have time parameters. And the president has every right to challenge, what's happened in this election, go through a process, and it has a time certain. On December 8th, electors will be certified, and then on December 14th, those electors will actually cast their ballots. And on December 14th, you will have officially a president-elect. I'm looking at this and thinking, as things are going, the president's claims that have not been proven. There's a court system, have not been proven. You did have a judge, by the way, in Georgia that said put a freeze on a certain number of election machines so that they can be reviewed. But there's a process, Chad. And I'm going to say this up front. This is a president who, when he got elected, had the FBI spying on his campaign. They had a FISA warrant issued on Carter Page based on forged information. They got his national security advisor charged first discussing something called the Logan Act, which was passed in 1790, has never been used since, never been prosecuted. No one's ever been prosecuted under it. So, yeah, and they go from that into a dossier that is the basis for a Russia collusion investigation dossier, which was paid for by the Clinton campaign. So I can see this president looking at this and saying, okay, I had the heck beat out of me in my transition. I'm going to utilize every legal means that I have until we sort this out. And there's a process, and that process will end on December 14th. And at that point, we'll have a president-elect. The fact is that there has been what they call ascertainment. In other words, the GSA is now in the process of working with the Biden campaign. There is now access to intel briefings. So we're in the process of a transition, but the president has every right to combat and contest and challenge this right through to up until December 8th and December 14th, and then we'll have a president-elect.
Well, he certainly is within his right. You obviously were a lawyer for a long time. If your track record in court was one win and 39 losses, you would not have been hired very often. And I understand he still can pursue this. But just on the term president-elect, Barack Obama, who fought very hard to prevent Donald Trump from replacing him, right away called him president-elect. Hillary Clinton, who ran against him president-elect. Nancy Pelosi called him president-elect. We should be calling Joe Biden president-elect. It doesn't stop him from pursuing it, but the GSA was allowed last week.
I'm going to hold you back. Yeah, he called him president-elect, and he had his campaign being investigated by the FBI during the transition, right? There wasn't the smooth wheels of transitions. Okay, it's difficult. Losing election is always difficult. Okay, I've been there. I had a recount that lasted 9 months, Chad. Yeah. 9 months. Yeah. So in the end, forget about the language calling. He has every right to utilize the legal process to make sure that if cheating occurred, if votes that were counted shouldn't have been counted, he's going to ferret that out. And he has a limited period of time in which to do that. So allow him.
But it's not holding up. I mean, it's one thing, Norm, to pursue that. But again, what you would say to me in a conversation is a different standard that you have to say in court. And I have always found, we haven't agreed all the time, but I always have found you a straight shooter. I've interviewed you so many times, right? So I don't expect things to be different. But when the president is tossing out things, and they aren't holding up in court, and is questioning Brian Kemp, who's as Republican as it gets, as the Georgia governor. He is questioning the Secretary of State of Georgia, who voted for the president, and there's nothing to the allegations and the smears he's offering towards those two individuals.
So Brian, what they say about marching like a lion, out like a lamb. The president is not like March. He came in like a lion. He's going out like a lion. The things that folks didn't like about him and the way he conducted, and they still don't like about him. I'm going to come back, by the way, did I vote for me? I really did. voted for him because his policies were good for America, because the things that he did to improve the American-Israel relationship were better than any president has ever done. And so, I look at those things and say, okay, I voted for him. He now, if I was his lawyer, I'd say, Mr. President, you have until December 8th. You haven't got a victory anywhere at this point in time. You had a judge in Georgia just said we're going to kind of may look at some election machines. You have a limited period of time. But in terms of what he says about the governor of Georgia, I'm not going to change the man. I appreciated what he did for this country in terms of his policies, what it did for the economy. And by the way, that reflected himself in the fact that with all that he went through, he got more votes this time than he got last time. He got high percentage of votes from African-Americans, Hispanics, in Jews, Florida, 43% of the Jewish vote in Florida. Stunning. So he is who he is. He acts the way he acts, and so be it. And then on December 8th, there will be a certification of electors. On December 14th, they will cast their votes, and then his time for appeal will be over. There will be a president-elect, and the reality is that there is a process going on now in which the Biden team is getting access to the information it needs in order for there to be a smooth transition.
Finally. I mean, today he received his first presidential daily briefing.
Thank you.
Last week, finally, the GSA. Come on, that should have happened a couple weeks ago, right?
You still can pursue legal action.
Bush v. Gore
took 37 days. The world didn't end. Whether it should have happened, would have happened, it's happened. It's all within the allowable time period, and we still have a process that allows opportunity for further appeal up into the next couple of weeks. It's getting very close. To 2 weeks, we will have a president-elect.
Is there multiple pieces of evidence that you've seen in any of the states? Because you know this. You could turn over two states and it wouldn't change the election. You could change three certain states, and it wouldn't change the election.
Are there any allegations where you're saying
there's something there, and the president may still retain the office because what he is alleging?
By the way, Chad, it's about three states, and about 40,000 votes between three states would change the election, Arizona, Georgia. Wisconsin or whatever, small number of states could change, small numbers. But no, listen, I in the end, you got to put up, okay? You got to have proof, and I haven't seen it. But I said he's got a period of time in which he can run his appeals, okay? You've got these, the claims about voting machines. So a judge in Georgia has pounded a couple of machines. But let him check it out. The world's not going to end between now and December 8th and now and December 14th. Allow the process to play itself out. And in the end, folks can say, but, there were 73 million people who voted for that. And they deserve to say, okay, every opportunity to appeal to question, we put it, it's been put out there. And if it hasn't been proven, then you move on. And at this point, I'm not arguing it hasn't been proven, but we've got a limited period of time. Allow it to play out. I think those folks who voted for him deserve to have a sense that okay, the process was challenged and proof was not had. And as a result, the electors have done what they've done, and now we'll have a new president.
You have really believed in the president in many areas, including what you alluded to earlier, his support for Israel. You confirmed to us that you voted for him this time. I go back to what you wrote in March of 2016. I won't read all of it, but key points. This is from you in the Star Tribune. I won't vote for Donald Trump. I won't vote for him because of who he isn't. He isn't a Republican. He isn't a conservative. He isn't a truth teller. He is a bigot, a misogynist, a fraud, and a bully. What, outside of the policy points you agree with, the tax cuts, Israel, but listen, personality and character does matter.
Yeah.
It matters to you. It matters to us. How has he shown that he is different from what, not me, what you wrote when you called him a bigot, a misogynist, a fraud, and a bully?
First of all, what you do actually does matter. We judge ourselves by our intentions, by what we think we might be. We judge others by their deeds. This is what they did. So his deeds prove he wasn't a bigot in spite of all the charges about being a bigot. He had more outreach to the African-American community, than who knows when. You know, look, criminal justice reform. Obama didn't do that when he had 60 votes. You had people getting out of prison now who are able to live their lives that weren't happening before.
Are you telling me that Donald Trump reached out to the African-American community more than Donald Trump? Come on now.
No, I'm saying he did outreach in terms of what he did.
On criminal justice reform, yes.
It made a difference. Highest employment of African-American Hispanics ever. Okay, so what he did, okay, you can label him all the things. I mean, because how many times they label him a race? He won't denounce white supremacy. He denounced it. No matter how many times he denounced it, it keeps getting thrown back at him. You know,
I'm just reading your story, sir. I'm reading what you said.
Yeah, before he got elected, I didn't think he was a Republican. I didn't think he was conservative. He is governed as a conservative. He appointed more conservative judges than anyone. He's appointed conservative Supreme Court judges. So in the end, Chad, you got to judge people by their deeds. And I think it's fair to judge him by what he's done. I judged him before then, didn't believe that he'd follow through. And in the end, he governed as a conservative. In the end, he governed. He certainly appointed more conservative judges than anyone ever. And has changed the Supreme Court that will have an impact for years to come. So I doubted that he would live up to the things that he said he would do in the campaign. In the end, he did. And so I judge him on his deeds. Okay, does his personal conduct, is it something that I'm going to hold up and applaud? No, I don't like his tweets. I don't like the way he relates to certain people. But in the end, if you give me a choice between him, okay, and someone whose deeds are going to hurt this country, are going to hurt our economy, are going to hurt our opportunity, are going to hurt the prospects of peace in the Middle East, I'll take the guy who's produced rather than the guy who's going to take us in a different direction.
Okay, so let's talk Joe Biden. You know Joe Biden well. You were in the Senate with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a Democrat, but he's not AOC. He's not Ilhan Omar. He is a center-left individual. You at one point were a center-left individual. Now you're a center-right individual. I know you've said recently that you're worried that Biden and supporters could take this country in a radically different direction. What is in Joe Biden's past to tell us that he's really going to do that?
Well, it's not in his past. But the question is, it's in the present of his party. It's in the present of his party, which is, you know, for a Green New Deal, which will, you know, destroy America's energy independence. Okay, that, oh, by the way, in his platform, it's in the presence of his party, the loud voices of the AOCs and the Rashid Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars and others. And so the question is, well, who is it that we see Joe Biden when he governs? Does he follow the path of the Bernie Sanders and the AOCs, or does he follow the path that he did when he was in the Senate? And so that's an open question. That's a very open question, but it's one that we'll see how it plays out. I had respect for Joe Biden. I simply disagreed with him on policy. But as a person, I always respected him. And so the question is, let's see what happens with the policy. Let's see how he plays it out.
If he governs as he was as a senator, you certainly would have preferred Donald Trump. You certainly prefer other Republicans. But is he somebody that Republicans can work with if he runs as the person he was for a three-decade senator, as opposed to people who now have created some energy in his party who are to the left of him?
If he governs in the center and he acts as a unifying force, I'll celebrate that. If he doesn't do, you know, remember, Obama came in with no red America, no white America, no whatever, and in the end, left as a very divisive force. We weren't closer on race issues. We weren't closer on economic equality issues. This country was pretty much, Donald Trump was a reaction to Barack Obama. So let's see how Joe Biden governs. And if he governs in a unifying way that pulls people together, if he governs from the center, I'm going to celebrate that. I'll celebrate that. The test will be, is it the Democratic Party today, which is a party of the left, moving further to the left? Let's see which Democratic Party holds reign in this next administration.
I always enjoy the conversation, and most importantly, I am very, very happy for you that your health moved through days that I can't imagine what they were like to where you're at now. So only the best health-wise, sir, and we'll talk again.
Chad, I appreciate it, and I do want to say, I do have to say, because I didn't say, it's because I really do believe that prayer makes a difference. You know, you always have people tell you, I pray for you. I want you to listen. I think it makes a difference. I got kind of a miraculous result. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, my Catholic wife and you know, saying masses, and my Jewish friends, you know, putting in notes of the Western Wall, and my Muslim friends, you know, praying to the God of Abraham. Hey, I believe. So let your listeners know that faith is a good thing.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, Norm.
Thanks, Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.